Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we started out with a very familiar verse tonight. I mean, it's pretty much the most famous verse in the Bible. It's from John, the Gospel, and I think you all know it. For God so loved the world. There you go. If you want to finish it, you could, but you got it. This is one of the most famous pieces of scripture. You would see it being held up in ball games. You would just hear it. It's such a wonderful verse about love. And what better day to talk about love than this third Advent week, where we actually lit what is known as the love candle, because we had joy, we had peace, and now we have love. And there's never a better time to talk about love than Christmas, where we get to celebrate love made flesh, Christ coming into the world. But you know what's funny? We think this is the beginning of the story of the love of God. In fact, we like to say, this is when love first appeared on earth, in Christ. It's funny that we begin Christmas, actually, in the gospel that we read in Luke. It doesn't actually begin at the beginning of the story. We actually start the Christmas season in the middle of the story. We start in the middle of the story about God's love. So for tonight, I think it's about time we went back to the beginning, to look at the themes of love that God has shown all throughout the Bible. So first, we have to go, to the beginning of the story. And it begins maybe not where you expect. It begins with a curse. We first see God's love, actually, when God is meting out the punishment for Adam and Eve. You see, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were tempted by Satan, and God was laying out some curses for them. For Adam, the ground where he worked would no longer be easy. He would find no enjoyment in what he did. In fact, it would be hard, and he wouldn't like it. For Eve, she would have pain in childbirth. And for the serpent, for Satan, he said this: I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. It's an odd place to find God's first theme of love. But here it is in this curse. It's a promise. A promise that one day, Satan will be defeated. And here we have the beginning of the theme of love. You see, it was a promise that sin would be defeated. We go on and we see that love continue. Maybe it's not so obvious, though. You see, after all of this, Adam and Eve, they were thrown out of the garden, banished from paradise. And yet, even in that, there was love. For God could have simply started over, destroyed all of creation. But no, he spared them. He let them go. He put an angel to guard over the garden so that they wouldn't eat of the tree of life and so live in sin eternally. This was an act of love, though hard it is probably for Adam and Eve ever to think of it like that. But God loved his creation. He loved it even when generations later the world became wicked. So wicked, in fact, that in the entire world there was only one family that loved God. Noah and his family loved God. And so God said to Noah, I am going to destroy the world and cleanse it. You and your family build an ark and gather two of every animal. And so they did. And though the entire world was destroyed in a flood, there was love. For God spared Noah and his family. And there was love even after that. You see, it didn't take long for men to screw up once again. See, the descendants of Noah went and they gathered all into one big place and they built a giant tower. And there they said, we can reach God. And God said, no more. I will confuse them and spread them out all over the land. And even in that spreading out, even in that confusion, there was love. For God repopulated the world through Noah's lines. And that love continued to a man named Abraham, who God promised that he would have descendants that made the stars, uncountable as the stars, uncountable as the grain of sands in the desert. And there was love. For God made that promise come true in the people of Israel. The theme of love then continued after that, though, into a place where Israel thought there was no love, for now they were imprisoned, exiled in Egypt. And they cried out to the Lord for deliverance, and there was love, for God heard them. And God sent a man, Moses, to go out and proclaim to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt that his people would be free. And then God led them out of Egypt. He led them into the desert onto Mount Sinai, and there he would give his people his commandments to show how they would live. And these were given from a God who loves his people, who loves his children, that they would do what is right in his eyes. But the theme of love continues when the children mess up. Didn't take long for Moses not to come down from that mountain, and the people of Israel said, you know what? We don't want a God like that. Let's make a new God and love that one instead. And so Aaron made a towering golden calf. And there God saw that what his people did, and he said to Moses, I will destroy my people, but I will make you and give the same promise to Abraham to you, Moses. And Moses pleaded and said, Lord, would you forget your promises? Would you forget your love? And so God relented. He opened up the earth and swallowed the golden calf and many of the Israelites. And he gave them this curse. You would wander for 40 years in a desert until this wicked generation has passed away, and your next generation, your sons and daughters, shall inherit the land that was promised to you. And even in that, there was love. For God did not abandon his people in the wilderness. He sent them manna from heaven and quail. He gave them water from rocks. Whenever they came upon an enemy that could have easily destroyed them, God was there and he gave them victory. And he led them after those 40 years into the promised land. And there, he even gave more love. He said, go, I am with you. Claim what is yours. And I will make you a prosperous nation. So the people of Israel, filled with the love of their God, they went out and they conquered, and the land was theirs. This was the theme of love, that God delivers his people and makes good on his promises. But now begins a new theme, a theme that is readily seen throughout the rest of the Old Testament. Didn't take long, once again, for the children of Israel to forget about the love of God. Instead, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And so came the time of Judges, when God would send one individual, one Messiah, to the land at the time where he would free his people from bondage. We know some of these judges by heart. Gideon, who was of the smallest tribe of Israel, and yet he destroyed the enemies of Israel. Deborah, who was a woman who did not want to be a judge, but because every other man was unwilling to do what God said, she did, and she was blessed, and she delivered and judged Israel. We have Samson, who was probably the worst judge ever to live, the most sinful man you could ever imagine, breaking promise after promise. But at the end of his life, he trusted in the Lord, remembered his promises, and so did more in one action of his death than his entire life combined. And so the cycle of love continued, where even though his people would rebel, God was there with them, loving them. And then came the time of a king. The people of Israel, they wanted a king so badly. They wanted to be just like every other nation of the world. And God was angry. Wasn't his love enough? Wasn't he enough for his people? Why would they want to be like everyone else? But God relented and gave them a king, exactly the one that they wanted. And they got Saul. And he was terrible. He was bad. He didn't love the Lord, but loved himself. And so God chose for them a new king, one after his own heart, who loved him. And so chose a young shepherd boy, David, who put his trust in God under unsurmountable odds, killing a giant of 9 feet tall or more with hundreds of pounds of armor with just a single stone, because he trusted in the Lord and loved his God. He would go on and conquer and destroy God's enemies because he put his love and his faith in the Lord. He would write psalms declaring the love of God to him, the love of Yahweh. And God raised him up, made him king over the nations, made him king over his people, and gave to him a promise. From your line, I will build a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of this kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. With this, the promise of Christ is here. That theme that goes back even from the time when that curse was laid on Adam and Eve is once again reestablished here in Samuel. God, through David, will provide an everlasting kingdom, the Son of God. And love would continue. Emboldened by this love, David, unfortunately, did as all men do and messed up. He killed a man, stole his wife, lied. He had his own son, cut him off from his kingdom and started a civil war, and lost all respect in the eyes of Israel. He would die not very dignified. In his bed, yes, but not even knowing what's going on. And his line would continue to his son, Solomon, who knew the love of God, for God loved him so much that he gave him wisdom from on high. But Solomon was a man and scorned the love of God, and so he messed up and married foreign women, so many to count that he could see a different one each and every day, and it would take him at least 2 years to get through all of his wives and concubines. And so he fell away from the Lord. The people continued in this cycle where they would either love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind, or they would cast him away for other gods. There came a time then of prophets and kings when the Lord would call a prophet and say, go preach to the king of Judah. Go preach to the king of Israel. Some kings were good and heard the words of the prophets, turn from their ways and love the Lord their God. And some would kill the prophets of the Lord. But love continued, for God did not abandon his people. There came the time of then of exile, when the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem, burned down the temple that Solomon had built, just scattered his people and the people of Israel in the lowest time of their lives, exiled to Babylon. Almost seeming like God has forgotten his love. But God continued to love. He was with his people. He was with their leader, Daniel, in a den of lions. He gave then Daniel, after he raised him up, the second highest position in all of the kingdom of Babylon. And so God protected his people in exile and promised them that someone would come and deliver them back to their homeland. And indeed, that love continued. For God sent a man called Xerxes, the Persian emperor, who sent his people back home. And then we have the prophets of Isaiah, who gave promises while they were in exile, even before the exile, and said there will be someone who is coming. He will be given many titles. Emmanuel, one of them, God with us. Fast forward then to Christmas, and we see this love continued in Christ. The love that began all the way back in Genesis is now made manifest here in Matthew and in Luke. This is the theme of love that we see now manifested in Christ at this Christmas time. But it's like I said, it's only the middle of the story. We know of the great love of Christ that had for his people. He healed the sick, preached to his nation, died for us and his nation. For the theme of love continued. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And the love continued even after that. For God raised his Son from the dead so that all of those who believe in him, all of those who know his love, shall never have to worry about the sting of death again. The love continued even beyond that to grow a church from just 12 disciples. It continued to grow until the love spread across the entire world. And we're here now today in that love that started all those centuries and millennia ago. As we near the end of the Advent season, as we look forward to Christmas and to the times beyond that, let us remember the love of Christ, the love of God, which passes all understanding, which did not just begin on a lonely winter's night in Bethlehem, but began so much longer and continues even today. Amen.